Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." It's Christmas Eve once again. It's hard to believe, isn't it? The days and the weeks and the months have gone by so quickly since last year. And like last year and the year before and the year before that, we as a nation are still at war. It's hard not to turn on the radio and television and hear about this thing. It's hard to listen to that media without hearing about the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, or about the presidential candidates and what each of them think about this war, or what they might do differently if they are elected president. No matter where you turn, this is a reality that is before your eyes. We are at war. Then, of course, there's the war on Christmas. Hasn't been publicized quite as much this year as in years past, but it's still there. Have you been paying attention to the retailers that refuse to say Merry Christmas, but will only say Happy Holidays so as not to offend anyone? While there have always been wars and people who don't like the Christ in Christmas, we can't help but wish for a more peaceful time, a time without so much busyness and so much pressure, a time when there is no war, a time when the word terrorism isn't part of our daily vocabulary. You might even be a bit upset with me for bringing up war on this Holy Eve, when everyone has gathered together to sing Christmas hymns, to eat food, to open presents, and to enjoy a candlelight service. For even if it's only for just a few minutes, we want to be able to step away from and escape all of those things happening outside of this place. All of those bad things, the suffering and death that we put up and deal with every single day. The problem is, we know that we can only hide from the reality of our sin for so long. And then it's going to creep back into our lives again, no matter what we do to stop it or try and hide from it. That has been the case ever since Adam and Eve broke God's law, ever since they were cast out of the Garden of Eden. Their lives became much more difficult because in their sin, they became enemies of God. The ground would no longer produce food automatically for the man. Childbearing was no longer going to be without pain for the woman. Their eyes were opened and they realized that they were naked and that they were covered in sin. And they could no longer remain in God's garden or in His presence because He was holy and perfect, and they were not. This is the same sin that we have inherited from our great-great-grandparents, Adam and Eve. They have passed it on to their seed forever and ever, and that sin belongs to us as well. Yet in spite of this truth, in spite of the fact that there is sin in this world, there is a reason to rejoice on this night, a better reason even than families or food, better than presents, better than candlelight services at church. For a Savior was promised to Adam and Eve in the garden, and to all mankind, to his seed and to the woman's seed forever. One Savior that would defeat the devil and restore the relationship between God and his creation that had been completely lost. And so on a night much like this one, in a little town called Bethlehem, a young virgin girl, through pain and suffering and struggle, gave birth to the Savior. A baby boy born in a tiny manger cattle stall. You've heard all of these texts before. You know the story well. It comes again every year. Nearly 200 years of peace and prosperity in the Roman world, without even a single threat of war on the horizon, brought forth a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. So everyone packed up their families and moved off to the towns in which they were born, the towns that belonged to their grandparents and their fathers. There were no riots about this new text. No one complained about having to pick up their families and change their lives for even many months while this registration and tax took place. Certainly, all of the world was at peace. But it all just seems a little bit too strange, doesn't it? It seems like this is a little bit too perfect. Everything was just a little bit too peaceful. Except there not being room in that one little inn in Bethlehem for that poor young couple who had come seeking place to stay. But this isn't the only thing that was happening on that night of Jesus' birth. Something much less tranquil and much less peaceful that the world didn't recognize and that they simply couldn't understand was taking place as Mary was giving birth to that boy. Even though there was no war on earth at that time, there was an entire army stationed just outside of Bethlehem. And even though there was peace throughout all of the Roman Empire, a battle that would affect all mankind was already in the midst of raging. Storybooks often depict a few soft, cuddly angels announcing the Savior's birth to a couple of simple shepherds sitting on a hill somewhere. But our text says that a single angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, and that upon seeing this angel, they were terrified. The glory of God shone around them. In the face of that angel, they saw the glory of God. And they were scared for their lives because they knew that truth, that they held Adam and Eve's sin, that they were unholy and could not stand in the presence of a holy God. The angel had to comfort them and tell them not to be afraid so that he could even give them the message of salvation, the message that Jesus had been born to them that night. Then once he had spoken, the entire angelic choir, the entire host of God, the angelic army in all of its glory, full dress uniform, appeared before these shepherds singing God's praises. They came to announce the birth of that little boy Jesus in the town of Bethlehem. All heaven shouted praises to God at the birth of his only son. This very evening, you have joined that angelic choir and all the company of heaven in singing those praises as well. Glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth. We are among the angels who sing of this birth and who proclaim God's salvation in Jesus Christ. Unlike the Roman world of Jesus' day, which knew nothing but earthly peace, today even the oldest among us can't hardly remember a time when we have not been involved in some kind of war or another. What could the birth of this boy really matter for us? It happened almost 2,000 years ago, and the world seems like such a different place today. How can this thing which has come to pass really matter for us? Don't forget that this child that was born is the very Son of God, the perfect Son of God who was promised to Adam and Eve in the garden. Don't forget that whether there is war on the earth or peace, the people of this world, including you and me, are still full of sin. And we are often at odds with our Savior and Creator. We need Him for our salvation. Jesus had to be born. He had to go to battle against the devil and death because we could not. If He was not born, we could not be saved. He had to take our sins away because we could not make ourselves pure and holy to stand again in God's presence. And He did go to battle and conquer the devil and death. And He did take away our sins and make us holy and righteous. He is the champion who has come to fight that we sing about in that great Reformation hymn. He is our Emmanuel, God with us in human flesh and blood. He is the peace on earth that the angels proclaimed that night to the shepherds outside of Bethlehem. He didn't win this battle against sin, death, and the devil and bring peace to this earth with a legion of angels or with well-trained fighting men, but by stretching out his arms and humbly giving his body up for death, by pouring out his blood for the sins of the whole world. Our current earthly war is likely to continue for some time. And when this one is finished, it's likely that another one will begin somewhere else. That's just the sad nature of our sinful human existence. But the good news that is of great joy for all people is that the war that began in the Garden of Eden with the serpent speaking to Adam and Eve and Adam and Eve stepping willingly into sin, the war that separated man and God from one another, has come to an end in Jesus Christ. Battles against the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh will continue to rage on so long as we live on this earth and we are in this sinful flesh that we have. But the war is already over. The devil's already been judged. The deed is done. Because the Savior was born as a baby boy in Bethlehem, because he kept God's law perfectly and in our place, because he was put to death for our iniquities, we have been declared righteous. Our sins have been taken away. We are no longer barred from paradise. The angel no longer stands at the gate with his flaming sword blocking the way to the tree of life. These things have been undone in Jesus Christ, and we are no longer condemned unto eternal death. That is what we are celebrating this evening. That is what we celebrate every Lord's Day in this place, as we come together to celebrate our Savior's birth, to celebrate his death, and to celebrate his resurrection. As we live in our baptism, as we feast upon his word, as we eat and drink his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, we are reminded of Christ Jesus born in Bethlehem, the little baby who was also the Savior of the world. Or as one of our hymn writers says, O Jesus Christ, thy manger is my paradise at which my soul reclineth. For there, O Lord, doth lie the Word made flesh for us. Herein thy grace forth shineth. The next time you hear talk about war, remember this war that began in the Garden of Eden and the champion who has come to fight and was born on this Christmas Eve many years ago. Remember that this war came to an end on Good Friday and was made known to the rest of the world on Easter Sunday morning. Then join again with all the angels and the archangels in the company of heaven. Join with the shepherds and all the believers on the earth to sing praises to our God who has won this war and given us the victory over sin, death, and the devil, who has granted us his peace. Let us always glorify and praise God for all that we have heard and seen, which is just as we have always been told. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Amen.